This morning I'll be encouraging you from a message I've titled, Follow Me as I Follow Christ. Follow Me as I Follow Christ. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to sit down at your feet again this morning and listen to your word. Lord, I declare, I know this word is not mine. I've searched the scriptures and brought out this message, these tips for your people by the Holy Spirit's guidance. Lord, I pray that you will connect this word to every heart here this morning. I pray for everyone listening to this voice, to the sound of my voice. I pray in the name of Jesus that this word, the Bible says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, is able to give us an inheritance. I pray that this word will position us to receive more of God in the name of Jesus. I pray that you think through my mind and speak through my mouth. Holy Spirit, I ask for your help this morning. Thank you, Father, because you are going to speak directly at each and every one of us. In Jesus' mighty name, we prayed. Amen. Amen. So this message was impressed on my heart, you know, a few weeks ago, and it kept coming and coming back. And I don't want you to see this message as just a message for fathers, okay? This message is for everybody. If you're a father here this morning, you're going to learn about how to be a better father. If you are a mom, okay, you're still going to learn something. You're going to learn the dynamics of fatherhood and how you can be one in a sense, in quotes, you know. Not in your physical look, but in a way, you know, everyone can father, okay? And also for our youngsters here this morning, our youths and our kids, I want you to listen attentively to see what the future holds for you. Okay, and also to receive, there's a point I have for you this morning that will help you see your father in a different light. I pray that the Lord will speak to each and every one of us in the name of Jesus. And if you're also a single parent, like I mentioned before, this will benefit you as well because you will learn how to father. So the concept of fatherhood is a very it's a physical one, but it's a spiritual one. It's more of a spiritual one than a physical one. You know, who is a father? A father is a foundation. A father is a source. A father is a sustainer. You know, they don't only bring forth, they also sustain what they bring forth. A father is meant to be a priest of your home. You're meant to be a priest, you're meant to be a prophet. A father is a protector, you know. How many people has you know, bask in the euphoria of your dad when you are growing up? Maybe somebody did something to you and then you go tell your dad. You know your dad has your back. A father is a protector. You know, when you know your father is home, you go to bed at night snoring, you know. A father is a nourisher. But let's understand this term, father, you know, a bit more this morning from the scriptures. There is a word that was used in the scripture that caught my attention when I was preparing for this message. And so I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Mark. But before we go to Mark, I mentioned at the beginning of the message that the title of my message is Follow Me as I Follow Christ, right? Okay. So that scripture, that title is actually a scripture, okay? And you can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. So I want us to first look at that quickly before we look at that term that I just mentioned that we're going to see. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. We use the New King James Version, and if I'm going to have a change of that, I will just let you know and read that to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 says, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. But I love the modern English version. And let's have it up there, the modern English version. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. So you are doing two things in one this morning. You're memorizing my message title, and you're also memorizing the scripture. Okay, interestingly, we taught the kids at church last week, and we did something about Father's Day, and we used this scripture to make a bookmark for our fathers, just to remind them of this word. So I was talking about a term that was used in the scripture that caught my attention. That term is Abba, A-B-B-A, Abba. This term was used only three times in the New Testament. Once by Jesus and twice by Paul. So in Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, that is where Jesus used that word. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. He said, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. That was when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was going to the cross at the time. He said, Abba, Father. And Paul said in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Remember Pastor talked about, when words are repeated, it's for emphasis, okay? Because they can't underline or use italics in those days, so they repeat it for emphasis. But use that word again, Abba. And then in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. So what is Abba? And why, of all the names of God in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh, the provider, the miracle working God, Jehovah Chikenu, there's so many names of God in the Old Testament. Why is it only, this Father, Abba, that was repeated in the New Testament? Especially by Jesus. He will say, Father, thank you. You always hear me. He's always talking about Father, his Father. So it got me thinking. I went to look up the meaning of that word, Abba. Abba is a defining term for Father in the Aramaic language. So that's the language spoken by Jesus and Paul in their time. So for me, that language will be Yoruba. And that's Abba will be Baba, okay, in my language. So it's like Papa. I don't know, is that Italian? they call Papa or Daddy. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'm saying, thank you, Daddy. My kids will be looking at me. one day Tito said, why are you saying Daddy? Your daddy is not here. but it's a term that shows intimacy. It's an intimate term to characterize a personal relationship with God. It's Father to everybody, but it's my Papa. It's my Daddy. Okay, so I don't know whether you have, an earthly father that is still alive this morning, or you have an earthly father that is close to perfect. I know none of them are. But, or you have one that has made wrong choices, that affected you negatively. I want you to know, the first thing I want you to know this morning is, we have an heavenly father who is perfect, and who we can get to know intimately, in so much that we can call him Papa, we can call him Daddy, and we'll be, it's showing confidence and intimacy in God. Praise the Lord. That is what Jesus came to do. He came to bridge that gap, to connect us back to God. Sin separates us, but he died on that cross to make that possible. He made salvation possible, but he also made, he brought us closer to, so that we can be able to call God Papa. In John chapter 20 and verse 17, John 20, 17, that scripture says, Jesus said to her, don't cling to me. So this was when he rose up from the dead. So he had already, he already died on the cross and rose up again the third day, right? Is already bridged that gap for us. And Mary was there at the tomb, looking at the empty tomb and talking to the angels, and he appeared to her. And he saw her and said, oh, Rabbi, it's you. And Jesus said to her, don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. So he did that work on the cross, you know, to bring us closer. Praise the Lord. And remember the Lord's Prayer? How do we start the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven. He says we should approach God as Papa, as Daddy. So we have that God that will never go anywhere. We have that perfect God, you know, that we can call Daddy. So now that we've established that God is our Abba, is our Papa, is our Daddy, let's look at that statement again in 1 Corinthians 11. It says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, when you look at that, it implies that, you know, there's someone, you know, at the front, which is Christ, and there's someone following, okay? So this is Paul that made that statement, by the way. You know, Paul was a pioneer. He was an apostle. You know, he was the, you know, the father of our Christian faith. He was the one that established so many early churches. And he was telling those guys, you know, like you and me, that I want you to follow me as I follow Christ. You know, one would think that he's saying that I'm perfect. So because I'm good, I'm perfect, just do what I'm doing, you know. But if you look at that statement very well, he didn't say that. He didn't just stop at following me. If he had stopped at follow me, you know, he would have been like, you know, what some people are these days, you know. They raise up people, follow them, and, you know, they are like a leader of this great movement, you know, because, you know, everyone is trying to be like them. Or maybe a superstar, artist or something, you know. People want to be like them. People want to wear what they wear. People want to talk the way they talk. You know, that's not what Paul said in that verse. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, it's, what that means is come up as close as you can to my example in those instances where I endeavor to copy after Jesus' pattern. He says, be my disciple as I manifest myself as a faithful disciple of Christ and no further. All those other things that maybe, you know, I'm still working on, don't follow that. You know, he says, I wouldn't want you to be my disciple, but his disciple. But, you know, sometimes you want to follow Christ, especially to our young children, you know, our youth here. You want to follow Christ. You believe in Christ, you know. You believe in Christ. But I want to tell you this morning that if you have a father, and that's why it pains my heart. You see, you know, youths that have godly fathers, ashamed of them. They don't want people to know that their dads are Christians, or maybe their dad are, you know, serving in one church. They are ashamed. Why will you be ashamed of your godly dad? You should appreciate them, you know. You should be proud of them, because you know what? They are leading you to the source. They are leading you in the right path. Praise the Lord. So it makes it easier for you when they walk a path to Christ. They've experienced some things that they can put you through. Praise the Lord. It makes it easier for you. It gives you confidence, you know, that you are going to the right place. But as a father, as that one taking that path first, I want you to think about some things this morning, because followership also implies that you are passing something down. You are passing down values. You are passing down lessons, consciously or unconsciously. So I don't want you to, this message is not to condemn anyone. You remember what I said? You know, we don't have, I'm yet to see, you know, a perfect father. We make choices that, you know, that don't honor God. We make choices that are not right sometimes, that we keep going back to God, you know, to ask for forgiveness for. But I believe that when you consciously make some choices, like we saw in that movie, thinking, having that at the back of your mind, that you have some people following you, imitating you, looking at your example, it will make a difference in what you're doing going forward and the choices you're making going forward. So my question for you today is, as a father, as a mother who is a leader in your home, or, you know, as someone fathering, as someone leading, what is the value, the lesson that you are passing or want to pass on to your children to follow? So what I did was I thought about the values, you know, that has been passed down from my father. and that I found myself still following right now, unconsciously. But first, let me show you a picture of my dad so that you know who I'm talking about. That's my dad. I downloaded that from my phone. That's why it's a bit blurry. My dad is 83 years old now. We did his 80th birthday in 2016. I actually went home for that party. All my siblings came home from where we are all over the world. It was a great reunion. My dad, I thought of the things that my dad passed on to me. And as I'm saying the things that my dad passed on to me, I want you to think about what values your dad passed down to you this morning. One of the things that my dad passed down to me that I found myself following now is the love for God. My dad loved God. My dad loved God. My dad was not perfect. He wasn't then when I was home, and he's still not perfect now. In fact, if I begin to tell you some of the choices that my dad made, you know, that he regretted for life, you know, I don't want to go there this morning. But I look back and I like, no, my dad loved God. He loved God with all his heart. He loved God with all his heart. You know, the question is, I know you love God, but do people know that you love God? Do you love him to the point that people know, that people can say, Kara loves God. I know she loves God. I'm telling you, I can tell you my dad loves God. How do I know? When it comes to anything about God, my dad is the first. He doesn't joke with anything. You can't even, you know, say anything wrong about God in my dad's presence. And he made sure that every single one of us, we are nine of us that he had. Yes. Someone said, "Oh." Why are you thinking about that? You should think about my mom that went to the maternity, you know? So he loved God. And then I saw the scripture in Matthew 22:37 that says, love God with all your heart, with all your might. I can't remember any time he sat me down to tell me, love God with all your heart, you know? But I saw that in him. And I think that I've unconsciously followed. Praise the Lord. My dad loved the church of God. It was when I was growing up, we went to an Anglican church. It's still there today. It's still there. And in those times, they didn't really preach about salvation and all that. But at some point, someone invited him to a full gospel businessman fellowship. They have it during the week for people in business. And he went and he gave his heart to the Lord. But he gave his all to the church. When my dad gets money, the first goes to God. Whenever there's a need in church, they're always, you know, I'm not saying that is in a bad way to the Anglican church. They're always raising fund for something, a building development, and then they read out what everyone is giving. So they call your name and say, so gave $20,000. You know, and, you know, they make it to be a bit of a competition in those days. I'm sure things will have changed now. But when they read out those names, my dad's name will come first. And I know that it's not because he's trying to beat other people. It's because it's paramount in his heart. He served with all his heart. In fact, recently they honored him in that church. They celebrated him and made him the, what do they call it? He's like the chairman of the church or something like that. They created something just to honor him because he was faithful. He loved the church. Remember in Ephesians 5, the Bible says Christ loved the church and gave himself. He gave himself for it. My dad taught me integrity. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, the righteous man walks in the integrity of his heart. His children are blessed after him. He retired as a high court judge. We lived in a fairly small town, so almost everybody knows everybody, you know. So there are so many other judges, you know, that take, you know, it's in the developing countries. I don't want to mention my country name. There's so much corruption, okay. You can actually bribe a magistrate or bribe a judge, you know. But I grew up seeing my dad not being part of that. When they come to our house, they come with all these gifts. They come with all these beautiful things. And then we, the children, will be in the house peeping. And then we see them carrying it back. I'll be like, again. They're taking it away. My dad will not take anything, you know, for a case he's handling. He will go with it the way it's supposed to be and, you know, and give that judgment the way it's supposed to be. I'm following that. I'm not a judge, but it's helping me to walk in integrity. And that boils down to his love for God, because he knows that if anyone is not watching, God is watching. My dad taught me prayer and fasting. You know, my dad will pray. For some reason, I've always been a early riser. You know, I would wake up early in the morning and, you know, maybe want to sneak to the kitchen to take something, or I didn't use the word steal, okay, to take something. And I would see my dad kneeling down praying, like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning. And that is still going to wake us all up, and we're still going to have a family devotion to pray every morning. And at nighttime, when we are going to bed, we still come together. In the morning, you see, you know, some of my siblings, you see us, you know, dozing off. You say, amen, amen. You still have to come to that prayer. But he had a personal time praying, and he brought the family together praying. He will fast 7 days. He will fast, you know. I'm like, this, at that time, I didn't appreciate it. You know, I'm like, he's forcing us to do all these things, you know. But now, you don't appreciate all that when you're 15, 16, you know. But when you were 30, when you, in fact, from 25 upwards, you start appreciating those things. He was a disciplinarian, but, you know, I started appreciating that. He taught me prayer and fasting. He taught me sacrifice. He taught me sacrifice. So what did your dad, what values did your dad pass down to you? Think about it for a moment. But that's okay. Some of us don't have, you know, father. You might not even be able to point out to anything that you think is good enough to follow after your dad right now. That's why, you know, I want to look at the Bible a little bit as well. Let's look at some people in the Bible. We're not going to go there, but if you look at the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about, you know, it listed some people in there, you know, and what, I believe, what they are known for, you know. And I believe at the same time, those are the values that I think they passed on to their children and down the line, their generation. It started with Enoch. It says Enoch pleased God. You know, by faith, he pleased God. And, you know, when he died, God took him, you know. God took him. He just disappeared one day. And people are wondering, where is he? You know, so that is something that he must have passed down. Pleasing God, doing the will of God. And then he talked about Noah. Noah was singled out because of his purity, because of his holiness. You know, he passed that down because it didn't end in his generation. Talk about Abraham. Abraham, in Genesis 18, 19, God was so proud of Abraham. He says, for I've known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Abraham was obedient to God. He was obedient. Obedient to a fault, that he was ready to sacrifice his son, his only son. Joseph passed down tenacity, perseverance. You know how much trouble Joseph went through? Moses passed down leadership. He led the children of Israel through, you know, amazing miracles and challenges in the wilderness. And he says, time will not permit us to talk about Gideon, about Barak. You know, there's so many of those people in the Bible that passed down one value or the other down their generation. So as you think about what values you've received from your father, I want you to start thinking of the values you want to pass down to your children to follow. That verse says, follow me as I follow Christ. So as you are thinking about that values, I don't want it to just be the fathers my dad passed on to me. I didn't share that to you so that, you know, you can do that. I don't want it to be the values that you're thinking that is coming to your mind right now that your dad passed on to you, you know. But it should be follow me as I follow Christ. So it's the values that we can see in Christ. The value that you can see in Christ. And one thing is, sometimes we tell our kids to do things. But as long as we are not doing it ourselves, why do we expect them to do it? You know, that's a question I should ask myself. You know, but whatever we are doing, it's easier for them to do. And 1 Timothy 4:15 says, when you meditate on those things, you give yourself entirely to them, that your profiting will appear to all. So until what you know begin to show, you don't actually know it. So what you know, what you know until you begin to do it, and it begins to show to other people, show to your children, so that they can follow it, that's when we actually know it. Praise the Lord. So let's look at things that Jesus, you remember that verse we read? He says, I'm going to your father and to my father. So God was Jesus' father. Let's look at some values that Jesus got from his father. Number one thing that I think, so I have five here. I know there might be so many other things that Jesus got from his father. But number one thing I have is identity. Jesus got his identity from his father. The father defined who he was. The situation that he went through did not define him. Circumstance did not define him. Pressures of life didn't define him. Problems, you know, with people didn't define him. You know, there was a time he was even calling God Father, you know, and they wanted to take him and kill him. They said, why is that? Means he's making himself like God. Why will he be calling himself Father? You know, but because he knows his identity is from his father. That's why he kept declaring that. He didn't allow people to define him. John 10:30. I want us to see John 10:30. John chapter 10 and verse 30. Jesus got his identity from his father. He says, I and my father are one. I and my father are one. Can you say, I and my father are one? We are one with God. We are one with God. And until you begin to walk in that reality, you know, you have to walk in that reality and let it show forth from you. Don't let, anytime there's something going on in your life, you're reacting to your children. You're using that, you know, even if they've done something wrong, you react out of anger, you know, because, you know, of what you are going through. You are letting that situation define you. You are letting that situation define how you react to things. But if you know your identity is in God, you know, no matter what things we go through, you know God will bring you through. Especially if you know that he's your papa. You know, things might not be going well right now, but things are changing for good in Jesus' name. In John chapter 6, verse 38, because of our time, we just keep going. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus got his purpose from his father. His purpose in life, he got it from his father. John 6:38 says, for I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. He came to do the will of him who sent him. Are you giving your children a sense of purpose by you being purposeful yourself? You know, does your purpose reflect that you're accomplishing God's will? I believe that, like I said in the beginning, without him, we can do nothing. Our purpose in life should come from the Father. You might find yourself working in a secular setting that you think, oh, I'm just a teacher. Oh, I'm just an engineer. I'm just a, you know, IT specialist, you know. But you are there for a reason. You are there for a reason. And even in your family, God has put you in that family for a reason. You know, you are there to guide those children. You see kids, you know, having gap year, you know, I still can't get my head around that, you know. Not because they want to do something meaningful with that year. I understand if you want to do something meaningful. But you see a lot of kids wasting that year just, you know, just trying to find purpose. When they have a dad and a mom at home who can actually guide them. Because this is a child you've raised from when they're a baby, you know their strengths, you know their weaknesses. I'm not saying you should play God in their lives, but you can nudge them in the right direction. Praise the Lord. You can nudge them in the right direction so that by the time they get there, you know, they are not totally confused. You know, they have a little sense of purpose. But it's not only when you speak to them about it. It's when you actually, they see you, you know, you're having your family time, you are praying, God, it's not your will. Guide us today. Let me make right decisions, you know. Let them see you, you know. Do that. Let them see you show it in your action. Let them see you depend on God. Let them see you, you know, ask God for help in your day-to-day walk. Number three, Jesus got his authority. He got his power from his Father. You know, Like I said, when I was growing up, my dad was a judge in a fairly small town. So it's like wherever a lot of places I get to, you know, they know my dad, you know. So when I get there, and you know, it's not like I use his name to go and get something, but they were readily to help me when they know that, oh, that's the daughter of so. They were ready. So I walked in that light. I walked in that, I enjoyed the benefit of that, you know, because of the name of my father, right? That was the same thing Jesus did. He used God's authority. He used his power because he knows that this is my papa. Praise the Lord. John 5, chapter 43, he says, I've come in my father's name. So it is his power that gives us strength, you know. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It is from him that strength comes. It is from him, you know, that power comes. The ability to do things that you're supposed to do. You know, do you use your father's authority and power? Do you challenge the devil over situations in your life, in your family, together with your children? John chapter 12 and verse 49. I'll just read it, verse 8. It says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. So it's God that gives Jesus authority. And I think that is one thing I think is a good thing to pass on to our children. You walk in the authority of God. You walk in the power of God. Your day-to-day living, you know, you are declaring that you have an identity in him. You walk in the purpose of God. Praise the Lord. Number 4, Jesus got his word from God. He got his message from his father, from his papa. That John 12 again. Let's read the full verse 12. In that, he says, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. He gave me what I should say and what I should speak. So Jesus, you know, must have read the word, thought about the word, spoke the word, you know, he acted on the word of God. Remember when he was tempted in the wilderness after fasting? In Matthew chapter 4, you know, what did he use to overcome the devil over there? What did he use to overcome the devil? The word of God. He quoted God's word. Every time he wants to do something, there are so many instances he quoted the word of God. So he got his message, he's got his word that propels him, that gives him focus from God's word. Let's get that purpose from God's word. And as we're doing it, let's not do it alone. Let's include our family. Praise the Lord. There are so many devotional, you know, readings out there that we can get into. There are so many topics. Even with our Nexus Youth, we do a topic. We're currently going through Fruit of the Spirit right now. You can use that as your own study at home. Just consciously, purposefully taking them through that path. So that when they become of age, when they're on their own, they know where to go to as their source. They know where to go to, you know, to get a word. Praise the Lord. And number 5, he got his character. He got his way of life from his papa. John, the book of John again, John chapter 5 and verse 19. The book of John wrote so much. John wrote so much, you know, about Jesus. John chapter 5 and verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, so the Son also do in like manner. So everything Jesus did, you know, is what he has seen in his Father, his way of life. You know, let's follow his, for example, the habit of prayer. The Bible says Jesus, as his habit is, will go into a secluded place to pray. Let's follow his habit of purity, his habit of love. He loved God and he loved people. Let's follow his habit of worship, of generosity, you know, of love for people. That is the character. That is his way of life. And I think that is one big thing that we can all follow, and we can all pass down to the generation after us. So I want you to think this morning, what values do you want to pass down? What values do you want to pass down for your children to follow? And one thing I want to mention is, we are following a path. My dad followed a path. I'm following his path. He's following Jesus, and we're all going to God. So let's open to Romans again. But I want to read it to you in the Message translation. In the Message translation, Romans chapter 8, 15 and 16. In the Message translation, it says, this resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It is adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who He is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. That verse alone kind of, you know, summed up everything I've talked about today. It talked about identity. It talked about purpose. It talked about authority. Talked about, you know, the word and the message. And then it talks about an unbelievable inheritance. Remember one of the series that Pastor did during the Stay Free series is that grand adoption. He said we have an inheritance. God adopted us not just to rescue us, but to give us an inheritance. You know, the Bible says a righteous father will leave an inheritance for his children's children. So I want you to think about what inheritance, what values you want to pass down. You know, don't just walk this path and not consciously pass this down. Let there be a tradition in your home, you know, of something that your children will be able to talk about even after you are gone. Let it be a godly one. Let it be something that Christ is doing. Let it be what Christ approves of. So this is what we are falling after to receive, an unbelievable inheritance. When I get to heaven, I don't want to be there alone. I want my children to be there with me. I want the people in the circle, you know, of my influence to be there with me. It will be lonely if I'm there alone. I want to bring them along. And let's consciously make sure that we do everything we can. We don't have the power to save, but we have the power to guide them in the right direction. You know, some families, they believe that when you have your children, just let them make a choice. Let it be neutral. If they don't want to go to church, leave them. If they don't want to do this, just leave them. Make it neutral. Neutrality is a religion on its own. So you are kind of passing that down to them, you know, unconsciously. So let's be purposeful. So these are the three things I want you to do as I close this morning. I want you to start relating to God, not just as the Father of the world, but as my Papa. When you go to Him, Nikki shared a verse this morning that, you know, if your earthly father knows how to give good gifts, how much more our heavenly Papa? Go to Him in confidence and let God heal your heart. If you have a father who has wronged you in any way, you know, I'm sure some people might not even be here in church this morning because they feel Father's Day. I don't have a reason to, you know. I'm not in good terms with my dad. Why should I even celebrate Father's Day, you know? But don't look at it that way. Ask God to help you to forgive him, you know? Our dads are not perfect, just like you and I. They make choices that they are not proud of, but they are still your father. So if you have a father that you have broken tie with or anything, go back and make amends. You know, go back and make amends. Let God heal that heart. Let God help you to forgive. But most importantly, I want us to start relating to God as Papa. Number two, get your values and direction from Him. Don't let this be an exhaustive list this morning. Search the scriptures. See what you want to consciously pass down that you want your children to follow. And then number three, you know, Nikki mentioned that as well this morning. In fact, I told her, I said, I'm glad not everyone is here for preserving prayer. Let's be a father to others. Let's be a father to others. That's why I started. You can be a single man and be a father of your home, you know, by walking in godly values and letting your children do so as well. Be a father to someone purposefully. You know, we can all be spiritual fathers. You know, there's so many, you know, the epidemic of fatherlessness is growing by the day. There are children all around us that need guidance, that need, you know, to be fathered. Let's be one to them. So I want us to pray this morning. Can we just rise up to our feet as we close?